And here in Matthew 19, let's read some verses together. Beginning in verse 16, we'll read about 10 or 11 verses. It says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." All of those commandments deal with mankind, don't they? It's us dealing with one another in those commandments that he tells them to do. And there's nothing wrong with those commandments, are there? I never understood why a public school system or why anybody would not agree with the Ten Commandments, because it would give all of us a better way of life in society. Wouldn't change the hearts of men, per se, as far as salvation, but it would do a lot for our society. It would do a lot to cut down on crime. Amen. But a lot of times we'll protest because they won't display the Ten Commandments in the courthouses or in the schoolhouses or whatever, but we pay no attention to them in our house. Amen. And so he's dealing with man. So in verse 20, the young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" I doubt that, don't you? I doubt if he had kept all those commandments. Believe it or not, I was once young. I know how young people are. Maybe some of you, maybe not as much as me, but I think in life, for the most part, a lot of young people, sometimes you have a little rebellious streak in you. Sometimes you have a lot of rebellious streak in you. But he said, "Hey, I've kept all of these things all the way from the time I was born, from my youth up." So in verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Did he say a rich man couldn't enter into the kingdom of heaven? Is there anything wrong per se with being rich? No. I've asked you this question before, but I'm going to ask you again today, because I like asking this question, because it makes you think. How many of y'all like money? I'm raising my hand. And I tell that once I get that part done, I say this: those of you who don't like money, see me after the service. I've said that many times, Colby. Not that I'm money hungry, but hey, if you don't like your money, give it to me and Miss Pam. We'll go to Ulta. We'll go to Walmart. I would love to have a 65 Shelby restored Mustang. Some of y'all don't know what that is. Not a woman Shelby. Not a 65 Shelby model. Not a female. No. No. But money's not bad, is it? I mean, it's the love of money. Right? You gotta have money to survive.
That's right.
Pretty much in the world in which we live in, or at least a credit card or a check card, or now everybody pays with their phone, right? You know, I pay, Apple Pay, you pay, we pay. Like Daddy used to say, marriage was 50-50. He got 50 cents, Mama got $50. So he paid. But money's not necessarily a bad thing. He didn't say that a rich man could not enter into the kingdom of heaven at all. He said hardly. And it tells me probably that not many rich people are going to be in heaven, because they worship their money. That's their life's goal. That's what their life revolves around, is making more money. And the more they get, the more they want. And then he gives another example in verse 24. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I take that literally. I mean, I ain't never tried to put a camel through the eye of a needle, have y'all? I hope you hadn't. I've tried to put a thread through the eye of a needle. Well, not much. I ain't never done much of that in my life, amen. Pam have to sew on a button every once in a while. Or, man, I got an old pair of britches. That's my favorite britches. They used to be black. They're kind of a gray in the front, and they're still black in the back. I mean, I'm two-tone. And it had holes in my pockets, and I mean, they were just buttons coming off. She said, why don't you get you some more pants? I said, I got some more. I just ain't going to wear them because this is my favorite pants. Y'all got favorite pants and clothes, shirts and all that? Y'all got favorite stuff? But she'll had, man, I had two holes in my pocket. I said, will you sew my pockets up so I won't lose my keys when I'm doing something? So she sewed them up. But I never tried to put a camel through the eye of the needle, but I got a pretty good idea. It wouldn't be the most fun thing in life to do, would it? You know, be like kissing a pig. But in verse 25, evidently the disciples misunderstood him, because when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? If a rich man can't be saved, if this young man that kept all these commandments from his youth up, if he can't, who in the world can be saved? Didn't look like there's much hope for anybody. I'm glad that's not the end. But in verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. Hey, in the sight of men, there are some of you sitting in here this morning that are saved by the grace of God, that some people wouldn't have gave 2 cents for your salvation at some time in your life, and they thought it's impossible that person will ever get saved. They're such a wretch. They're such a reprobate. They're so deep in sin, there's no hope for them. But aren't you glad God doesn't look at it that way?
Yes.
Amen. Oh, I'm so glad. That might seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm so thankful for that. I grew up a preacher's kid. But guess what? Preacher's kids need to be saved too. I was just as lost as any other child. I was just as lost as any other teenager. I was just as lost as any other adult was in this world. Although I knew the truth, I'd heard the truth, I was still lost without God. So this rich young ruler made, Dad wrote down that he made 4 big mistakes. But before that, before we talk about the big mistakes, let's talk about some commendable things that he did. Did you know you can do some good things and still go to hell? You can. Did you know you can, by the world's standards, live a pretty good life and still not ever get saved? It's possible. There's a lot of religion in this world, isn't there? There's a lot of those people like this rich young ruler per se that is trying to get to heaven the wrong way. And some commendable things that he did. Number one is this. We find that he came at the right time. In verse 20 of Matthew 19, it says this. It calls him a what? A young man. You know, my only regret about salvation and about getting saved is that I didn't get saved earlier in life than I did. You know why I regret that? Because there's a lot of things, Pastor, that I allowed to come in my mind that I will never get out till Jesus comes. Amen? It's a constant daily battle that you have to fight. And maybe some of you did too. And I didn't get saved till I was 21 years old. But can I say to this? Whenever God speaks to your heart, amen, hopefully as a young person, I don't know what age it'll be, if you're not saved, oh, what a multitude of trouble and heartache that you could save yourself, not only now, but in the years to come.
That's right.
You can't think about just the present. It's like, man, I wish I had gotten saved at a very early age. But hey, he came at the right time because it said in verse 20, the young man. So that was a good thing that he did.
Yes.
But it didn't save him, per se. He came at the right time. What's something else good that he did? We see that he came to the right person, didn't he? In verse 16, it says, one came and said unto him, good master. Who did he come to? He came to Jesus, didn't he? There's just something about that name. Hey, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name Jesus. So that was another good thing that he did. He came at a young age. He came to the right person. Not in this portion of Scripture, but in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I won't take time to turn there, but you can read it in Mark 10, 17. He came in the right manner, humbly. He came running and kneeling in humility. He came running. He came quickly. So he came in the right manner. Number four, the last thing that we're going to mention this morning about the commendable things that he did, he came looking for the right thing. What was that? Again, in verse 16, he said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He came looking for eternal life. Now, we all want to live, or for the most part. I hope we do. You know, we want to live. I enjoy, hey, as I said this morning, I'm 69 years old, and everything ain't like it used to be. Amen. I got out here yesterday afternoon and shot basketball. I couldn't miss. I was on. I told Pam, she was sitting out there watching me. She was my cheerleader. When I'd make one, she'd go, yay. I said, I can't miss today, honey. I've got it. But when that ball would kind of go astray and I would chase it down to keep it from going even further, I thought, I can't do this anymore. My knees was hurting. Hey, man, I could see myself face planting. And on the asphalt, I'd hate to come up. A nose this big, all skinned up, that'd take a big Band-Aid to cover up that scab. But I found out I still enjoy it. I thought, and I began to imagine in my mind, you know, you can do a lot of stuff when you're old in your mind. And I thought, because at our church on Thursday nights, I think it is, I've never been, there's a bunch of the men gets together and they go down to the gym and play basketball. I've entertained that thought, and I thought, no, I'd rather stay home and snack. Amen. I'd rather stay home and eat cookies and drink milk. Who wants to be chasing a basketball with a bunch of sweaty, stinky men when you could be at home with a good-looking woman eating cookies? That's a no-brainer, ain't it? But I found, hey, just because I'm a little older, just because that I can't do the things to the magnitude that I used to, that don't mean that I want to die per se. I still enjoy life. We all want to live, but I don't want to live in this body forever.
No.
Amen. Daddy used to say, if I knew where I was going to die, I just wouldn't go there. But I thought, Brother Sam, then we would live forever in these bodies. Wouldn't that be horrible? Sometimes as bad as I feel now at 69, I can't imagine. Pam says, oh, you're going to live to be 100. I said, I hope not. I really don't want to live to be 100. I can't imagine how much skin will be hanging off of me at 100 as much as is hanging off now. You lift your arms up like this in front of the mirror, and that flab hanging down under your arms look like angel wings. Amen. You go out, hey, some of y'all go out in the wind, open up your arms, you land somewhere down around Gaithersburg, or Frederick. Amen. There ain't enough Ulta in the world. Plump all that skin up. Us men are the same way. We sagging and bagging everywhere and got all these wrinkles and everything. So it's not that I want to live in this body forever, but I do want to live forever.
That's
right. Amen. I do want to live forever. Spiritually, I don't want to ever die. The death that's talked about in Revelation, the second death, when he's going to cast the unsaved into the lake of fire. That's the death that I'm worried about. Or was. So he did a good thing in the fact that he came for the right thing, that he was seeking eternal life. And so those are four good things that he did. But now we come to the crux of the message where we see the mistakes that he made, even though he did some things right. Number one is this. One first big mistake he made a wrong appraisal of Jesus Christ. He made a wrong appraisal of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean this. He came to him, Brother Tracy, only as a teacher.
That's right.
He looked at him only as someone that could maybe teach him some more things in life that would help to advance himself in society. You say, how you get that? Because he came and said, good master. He came just as looking at him as a professor, as a teacher. And that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, was it? Hey, if a person, even if they were not saved and wasn't going to get saved, if they would live their life according to the principles of God's word, they would still have a better life on this earth than without God's principles in their life. But it wouldn't do for them when they died. And so he thought, I've heard that this man is a teacher. I've heard that he has some marvelous sayings. I want to get to him as a teacher. But he made that wrong appraisal, not recognizing Jesus Christ as God, the provider of redemption, amen. The provider of redeeming our soul, of buying us back.
Yes.
From that which Satan had done to humanity. All the way back in Genesis when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Therefore, according to Romans, all of mankind were made sinners. Number one, he made the wrong appraisal of Jesus Christ. He recognized him as a teacher, as a good man, but not as a savior. Number two, not only did he make a wrong appraisal, he had a wrong conception as to how eternal life might be obtained. He came to him and he said, good master, what good thing? What good thing? He thought, I can work my way into heaven. Pam and I, if we're at home almost every day, 6 days a week, we go out to Tanglewood Park in Clemens, North Carolina. An 1,100-acre park with all kinds of trails, paved trails, wood trails, horseback riding trails, bike riding trails, all kinds of, just a wonderful park that used to be owned by Mr. Reynolds, who started R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company that owned Winston-Salem at one time. He owned land. They still own land everywhere. Hadn't been for R.J. Reynolds Tobacco and Haynes Knitting, Winston-Salem would never have been. But we go out there to those trails and we walk on those trails and we enjoy doing that. And we have a good time together. We get to pet their horses, you know. And everybody walks their dogs out there, and we have a good time petting all their dogs and all of that. But no matter how much I exercise, no matter how good of a time that I have, I can never obtain eternal life by trying to keep my body in the best physical shape that I can keep it in. I just can't do it. But hey, he thought that he could work his way into heaven. But when we would go out there and walk, I noticed these two young girls dressed very nicely, dressed like church people. And they would sit out there and we'd pass by and we'd just say, hello, hey. You know, I speak to everybody whether I know them or not. Some people, it makes them mad. If I find that out, I stop and have a conversation just to aggravate them because they don't want to talk. You say, you're mean. Yes, I am. I just, people in my neighborhood, we've got some of the stuck-uppest, ignoramus, redneck people that they, when you wave at them, it's like, y'all can't put this on the radio either. But if I find that out about you, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up and say, hey, how you doing today? What's your name? But these two young girls be sitting out there every day, and they had these little tags on with their names on there. Mm-hmm. LDS. I said, I'm a PDS. Present day saint. I'm not waiting till the latter days. No, so we got talking to them, didn't we? And got to witnessing to them. And so one day, Pastor, I told them girls, I said, all right, we're going to have a conversation today. I said, I ain't going to try to convert you, and you ain't going to try to convert me, but I'm going to find out more about your religion. And I began to ask them questions. You know how they're trying to get to heaven? Works. They don't even believe in hell. They don't even believe in hell at all. They don't believe anybody goes to hell. That sounds pretty good, don't it? Only thing is, there's no truth in it. But I said, being the good Christian that I am, I said, well, what's the use of getting saved? If I ain't no hell, I'm going to live it up. I'm living it up right now, by the way. I said, so explain to me. She said, well, there's 3 degrees of heaven. Because I was asking them, I said, well, why do y'all come out here and sit every day? Why are y'all coming out here witnessing to people? Why are y'all doing all this if there ain't no hell? She said, because there's three different areas of heaven. You've got that area that's closest to God, then you got that second area, then you got that third area that's furthest away. And she said, we want to be up there close to God. You know, so we come out here and we work. And this one girl, she got to asking me all kinds. She got interested in the Bible truth. And this other girl ended the conversation. Because this other girl was too gullible to the truth of God's word. I'm afraid the other girl was afraid the Holy Spirit of God might speak to her through the truth of God's word. Hey, she might get saved. And so she cut the conversation short. But I thought, how sad. Them girls, I can't remember if it's 18 months or 2 years of their life that they spend on mission work. And I asked them, I said, how is this funded? She said, we have to work for part of it and the church pays for the rest of it. I said, how? But take 2 years out of their life trying to obtain eternal life totally the wrong way.
That's right.
And that's what the rich young ruler did. He had a wrong conception as to how eternal life might be obtained through works. What must I do? What good thing shall I do? Number 3. Here's the third mistake that he made. He had a wrong estimate of himself. You ever Now, don't raise your hand and don't blurt out any name, but have y'all ever known anybody that thought a whole lot of themselves? Aren't those people wonderful to be around? Aren't they just a blessing? Those that think a whole lot of themselves, you know, and they love to talk about themselves, and they love to talk about their accomplishment, and they love to talk about what they've done, and all of this stuff, you know, and it's like, they're really proud of themselves. But this young man made a wrong estimate of himself. He made a wrong estimate of his ability. He thought that somehow or another he could bypass the grace of God. And somehow or another that he could live. It kind of goes back to works that we just talked about in point two. It kind of goes back to the point that he thinks, hey, I think I can do this my way. I think, yes, I want to go to heaven, but I think I can get this done my way. I don't think I need this man who I look at as a teacher to obtain heaven. So he made a wrong estimate of his ability and how to attain eternal life. But then the fourth thing in closing, fourth wrong thing that he did, and he may have done many other wrong things. This is not exhausting to any means. He put a wrong value upon his earthly possessions. This is basically what cost him his life. When Jesus said in verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. He had a lot of stuff. You know what I pray? Now, there's sometimes I'd like to have more things than what I got. Hey, Brother Tracy, I don't need anything. I can't think of anything. When he was talking about the offerings that you give, man, he was not lying one bit. There's been times when I'm thinking, I can't take this.
You said that to me.
I did. I said, I can't take this. What did I do? This is too much money. My daughter had been with me. She said, no, it ain't, Daddy. Take it. Take it. But I like what you said. Because I've expressed that same thing. I told Pam, I can't take this money from these people. They worked hard for that money. You sweated for that money. That ain't my money. And I tell Pam, I can't take that. And I remember when I pastored. When they wanted first time they wanted to buy me a car. Well, I ain't taking no car. Part of it, and I'll confess this morning, we'll let y'all confess in a minute publicly, okay? I'll go first. Who wants to be second? But when they wanted to buy me a car, I said, I don't need no car. Y'all pay me good. I'm able to afford to buy me a car. Don't buy me no car. But here was part of it. I confess, I didn't want to feel like I was indebted to them. You know what it was? P-R-I-D-E.
Yes, sir.
Pride. Yes, sir. I don't owe nobody nothing. It was pride. But Pam, the very thing you just said right up there, Pastor, is what Pam has told me many times. She would say this, do not cheat those people out of a blessing. So did that make it all right? No, sometimes I still bow up. I'm just human. Sometimes I still bow up and I say, I can't take that money. I can't. But God has blessed me tremendously, far above beyond anything I could ever think or ask. And I can't thank Pam. She will ask me, like, my birthday. What do you want for your birthday? I said, I don't want nothing. I don't need anything. My Father's Day that's coming up. What do you want for Father's Day? Sometimes I'll say a sack full of $100 bills. I do that to waitresses at the restaurant a lot of times. Anything else I can get you? I said, yeah, a sack full of $100 bills would be fine. They always say, well, if I find one, I'll let you know. They're lying. They would not. Just like me. You ever found a piece of money? You ever found a piece of money laying around? How much effort did you put into finding who that belonged to? If I find a piece of money, now if it's somebody's wallet, that's a different story. But if it's a $100 bill laying there, that baby's mine. You say, what if you see it laying beside somebody's car? Too bad. I ain't going in the store looking for them. You think I'm going in there and say, you driving this 64 Volkswagen? I found a $100 bill. It might not be theirs. I ain't turning it in. Pam and Monica found somebody's billfold in the store laying in the floor, and they took it up front. I said, you should not have took it up front and left it with the cashier. I guarantee you they cleaned it out. I said, you should have brought it to me, and I'd have took it to the police. Let them work it out, you know. But God has been so good to me. It's like, here's what I pray. God, just I think it's in Proverbs or Psalm. I have to look it up. Give me enough that I don't have to steal, right? But don't give me so much that I feel like I don't need you in my life. Just a happy medium. And God has done more above and beyond that. God has given, he has blessed me so much. But you know what? I don't put any faith in none of that. But this young man, he could not give up his possessions because he had so much. And he loved that more than he loved anything else in life. Money can do that to you, right? It can. I close with this. Years ago when I was pastoring, I dealt with a gentleman in our church that had a problem with alcohol. And he professed to be saved. And it got to the point where it was being a detriment to our congregation in the community. And I counseled with him several months to no avail. And one day when I was talking with him, I called his name, and he said, as he had said umpteen times, I love my family, and I love my wife, and I love my church, and I love God. And finally, I just stopped him. And I said, no, what you love is your alcohol above everything else. And you can call me cruel if you want to, but after about 4 months, I continued praying for him, and I called his name, and I said, I can't help you. I can't help you because you don't want any help, because you love your alcohol more than anything else in this world. And he gave up his job. He gave up his family. He gave up his church. I don't know if he was saved or not. I know he lost everything that he had. He could have been saved and God just cleaned his clock. I don't know. But I know this, that rich young man. Hey, let me ask you this question. Maybe your pastor's asked you this before. What in this world is worth going to hell over? What possession do you have worth spending eternity in a lake of fire? What career is there that's worth burning in hell forever? It's a good question, isn't it? I'd have to answer that, nothing. The four big mistakes. I don't know who's saved and who's lost in here, but don't make one of these mistakes that my dad preached about years ago, and let these things keep you out of heaven. It ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it. Would you stand?